A lot of people to make worship happen. And Kevin in the back and ushers and all kinds of folks, we're grateful. I'm reading from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And you can see that on the screen. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete, be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing then from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. This is the word of God for the people of God. This is the second part of a series on strengthening your relationships. And I always believe sometime in the year you need to talk about relationships, family, friends, community, and to strengthen those kinds of things. And so with that in mind, back in February, March, I started pulling these thoughts together. We said last week that relationships are the single most important thing in our lives, but they are also things that challenge us. If we don't have good relationships, life gets really difficult. And it is tough to be a good mother or father or grandparent if you don't have a basic good relationship with your kids. It is tough to do your work in the job place if you cannot function in the relationships that you have with the people there. And it's difficult for us to be fruitful as the people of God, the body of Christ, if we don't have good relationships. Last week, I looked at five things. I'm going to do the same this week. How to build up our interaction with others. Number one, show genuine love. Be the person that you are with that individual when you're away from them. Number two, practice kindness. Number three, don't be a bear, but bear with others. Number four, honor one another. And if Philippians here says, honor one another above yourself. Think of your others as more highly than yourself. And then five, lift the load in others' lives. And then we concluded by saying, we can't do any of this without Christ's strength. And when we do practice it, then Christ is living through us. So the first thing I want to talk about is don't wear out your welcome. I don't know about you, but I love to be out on the patio, on the deck. And sometimes you want to go over and you want to talk to somebody else and the neighborhood, and you're visiting maybe a friend or family or neighbor. But you could just in the good old summertime, you could just kind of talk all night, right? But you have this thing inside which you don't want to overstay. You don't want to wear out your welcome, right? But I want to look at it at a little different way. I want you to think of this as not to wear out your welcoming spirit to others. Romans 15:7 says, welcome one another just as Christ has welcomed you. Now, I think we are here this morning because we feel welcome, not only by people, but by Christ. We see in Scripture that Jesus welcomed everyone, the outcasts, the troubled persons, and those whom others rejected. And Christ is never too busy. He's never too tired, never disinterested, but always saying, come to me and be with me. And so we're to have that same mentality, that same spirit. And here's the thing. If people don't feel welcome by us as Christ's instrument, you are Christ's ambassadors in the world. What happens if an ambassador goes over to another country and gets in arguments and fights and fusses and fumes with that other country? That country gets mad at our country, right? So we are Christ's ambassadors. And how we represent Christ is how they're going to see Christ. We all have moments when we've not been as welcoming as we should be. Maybe it's somebody different than us. Maybe somebody we don't like. Have you ever been in a store and shopping and you saw somebody out of the corner of your eye and you thought, I don't want to talk to them right now, so I'm going to go over this way. God always prompts me. Maybe there's a conversation, you know, maybe you're busy and you're moving, but maybe there's something God has for you to say to them. As followers of Christ, we're to welcome others, of course, our family, our friends, but also new people we meet. Jesus was always taking the disciples into new arenas. He was connecting them with people they didn't want to be with. They didn't want to be with the Samaritans. They didn't want to be with the lepers. They didn't want to be with all these different groups. And Jesus showed them that we are to welcome others. This is a mark of a vital church. When people walk through this door for the first time, we need to be a welcoming church. We are, but we have to keep on working on it. And you know, if somebody's not been here for a while, you know, don't say to them, where have you been? I mean, they already feel bad enough that they haven't been out for a while, you know. So they just say, oh, it's great to see you. I missed you. I'm glad we could be together this morning. You know, I know that the coffee hour out there and downstairs, it is a lot of work. It's a lot of effort. But boy, it does make a difference. When I am away from the parish and on vacation or traveling, I go to another place of worship and somebody offers me a drink or a cup of coffee and gives me a donut or whatever, you know. Try not to eat too many donuts. But anyways, it makes me feel at home, makes me feel welcome, and we make a difference in people's lives. One church I served, there was a man and he'd be at the front door every Sunday. That was his thing. Now, granted, that's what he did at work, too, in a large company. But, man, he was so good at it. He had a smile for everybody. He learned everybody's names. He said he missed somebody when they were back. It was a new person. He welcomed them. And he was just a one-man machine in drawing people into that church. And when folks would join the church, they often would say, I'm here in part because of Hal. It can seem like a small thing to welcome others, but you and I need to be aware that there are days when some folks we come across are feeling so down, feeling so rejected, feeling incapable, feeling unappreciated, that your welcome can just change their life. Sometime, maybe you, like myself, have been out of town, and your kids or maybe your grandkids, they put up a poster, maybe some balloons, and you walk up the front door and there's this stuff that says, welcome home. And you're like, wow, that's so great. Our message to everybody should be that they're welcome into our heart and into our lives. And when we do that, we show others they're welcomed by Christ. And when a person comes to Christ and to know Him and experience Him, He says, welcome home to them. I missed you. I love you. Number two, live in harmony with one another. Romans 12:16 says, there was a song that Paul McCartney sang, Ebony, Ivory, Living Together in Harmony. We're familiar with harmony in music. What's it mean? It means that two sounds blend together. They enhance one another. I don't understand the dynamics of how that works. Jance, I'm sure you do. Matt and Christy and some of the and Miranda and probably the whole praise team. But anyways, but we know when it's working and we see it printed and we know when it's not working, right? Because it's discord. It hurts the ear. In the same way, God wants us to live harmoniously. We're different. We have different perspectives. We have different experiences, different life settings. We don't have to be just like one another, but we have to learn how to blend together in a harmonious way. To live in harmony means we may have to adjust our attitude and behavior. We can't just say, I don't like how that person operates, so I'm not going to work with them. We must adjust what we say and behave in a way that it blends. You don't say things that might really bring offense to others. Come at it from their vantage point. The Apostle Paul learned to do this. He said, I became all things to all people. He said to the Jew, I became a Jew. To the Greek, I became a Greek. He tried to relate to them. He tried to enjoy their foods and their customs. And God used him. How does that work for us? Well, show respect for someone's lifestyle that's a little different than yours. If you don't like someone's political leaning, try and relate on a different level. If you're in a Bible study or group and somebody has a Catholic background or a Baptist background or something different, don't be quite as opinionated. We are the body of Christ and members of it. And each one of us has a part to play. And each has a different role. And God calls us to live in harmony, to sing a song to the world. Build harmony. Philippians 2:2 says, be of the same mind, be in one accord. One of the ways we build harmony is not to be so judgmental. James 5:9 says, and that's the whole spirit of what's here in Philippians 2, do not grumble against one another so that you may not be judged. Do not judge so you will not be judged. People often get confused about judging. You've got to understand there's a difference between discerning and judging. Good judgment, of course, is needed in all of life's circumstances. You have to judge things, some things about people and situations to do the right thing and maybe even to protect yourself. But when the Bible talks about not judging, it is referring to an attitude of not condemning or not ridiculing someone, or putting others down, or having this constant dripping of resentment against another person. You know how you know you're judging? Because when this person comes to mind, you have a critical feeling towards them, and it keeps on coming. God wants us to change our attitude. God wants to help you and I build better relationships with our children, our parents, our colleagues at work, our neighbors, and the body of Christ. Our world, if you just live the way the rest of the world is, you'll be judging all the time. It's in the papers, it's in Twitter, it's on the media. I could hardly watch the criticisms on Twitter, in political conventions, and even in our own church general conference. I was talking to a political leader in this town the other day, and he said, I've got to turn the TV off. I can't even watch it. That told me a lot about his heart. Followers of Christ are to be people who show grace and love. His grace is enough. And we shouldn't be so harsh on our leaders. We should pray for them first. The thing that people forget is that you and I will become a prisoner to our judgmental attitudes. If you and I refuse to let go of our resentment, it controls us and dominates our thinking. Ultimately, judgment leads to despising someone and hating them. I think the violence we have seen in our streets is because of judgment and hatred. How do we get free of this? Well, we need to say, Lord, I'm harboring resentment in my heart. I've been hurt by this person. I've tried to point out some things, but to no avail. So, Lord, I give them to you. I cannot change them, but you can. When we let God change our attitude, then God can improve the relationship. And what is the antidote for judgment? It is forgiveness. If we want to build strong relationships, we need to forgive. I'm guessing here this morning that some of you are in a broken relationship with a family member. Maybe they live far away, but God wants to restore that relationship. Forgive one another as Christ forgave you, Ephesians 4:32. Think of it this way, the fourth point. Forgive as much as you need to be forgiven. Every one of us sins daily, friends. In things we say, what we think, what we do, or what we ought to have done and we haven't done. We are often fearful, and God says, fear not. And so we need a lot of forgiveness from the Lord. I think of what we say at communion. It's here up on the screen. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Boy, that just says it all. But we shouldn't just wait till communion to get that kind of forgiveness. But daily, ask God to forgive you of your sins and know that God is even forgiving you of things you don't even know about. And if we need forgiveness daily from God, how much more do we need to extend that to others? It's at the center of our faith. It's what Christ did for us on the cross. He granted forgiveness to the woman at the well, to the woman caught in adultery, to Zacchaeus, the tax collector, to his disciples, and to the whole world as he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sin puts a weight on our shoulders. But forgiveness, received or given, lightens the load and lets us soar in freedom. Who do you need to forgive today? Is it a family member? Is it a neighbor? Someone at work? Someone here this morning? Say, God, I need your forgiveness day by day, and I now forgive this person in Jesus' name, that I might be free to serve you. This is what Christ did. And he was forever severely being criticized, and he forgave over and over. Though he was God, he humbled himself and became gracious. To build relationships, then, number five, learn to build others up. And 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another and build up each other. I think along with welcoming people, we need to understand that affirming people is really critical to a wholesome life and to a wholesome relationship. Almost all of us have feelings every day of inadequacy, that we have fallen short, that we missed something that we should have done, that we've let people down. And so all of us here, we need an affirmation to know that we're doing a good job, to know that we're appreciated, to keep the communication strong. I will be the first one to admit that I made mistakes in raising our kids. There were times I got too upset and too distraught. I tried my best to talk it out and everything. But you know, you look back and you think you messed up at times. You didn't pray enough, whatever. You got angry. Last night at 1:04 in the morning, I got a text from my son. And he said, Dad, I just saw a movie. And he went on and he told me, I just want to appreciate tell you how much I love you and what you've done for me. And oh, he went on and on. I wrote him back. I said, David, I said, I will remember those words for the rest of my life. And that affirmation was beautiful. And I need to do that with my kids. I need to do that with all the people I encounter, and you do too. I seek to affirm every pastor that preaches, every musician who brings a song, every person who does a good deed or service. I try to work at it. I fail sometimes. But that's what we all got to do. There are enough people who tear down. We need to be people who lift others up. It'll make the relationship stronger. Jesus Christ is seeking to encourage other people through you and through me. We are his hands and his feet. We are his heart beating in the world. We are his arms wrapped around somebody else. And sometimes you and I may feel so down that we say, Lord, I need some encouragement today. And I prayed that prayer, and God sent those people. I like watching the Olympics over week and a half, whatever it was, for a couple week period. I love watching the running events because I used to do some running. I know we got some amazing runners in this church, marathon people, but I really enjoy that. And who doesn't like to watch Usain Bolt, you know? I mean, wow. And I love to see somebody that's behind come forward and pass the others and win the race. I read about a different kind of race, though, that happened last year. And it was a race, walk, whatever you want to call it. Some said more of a swagger for cerebral palsy. And the participants, some of them had cerebral palsy, some of them were in wheelchairs, some on crutches, some could walk a little better, some were being helped a little bit. But one young man, Hunter Gandy, carried his brother, Braden, 57 miles on his back over a period of 3 days. I can just imagine the people there. It was in Ann Arbor where they concluded the walk or the swagger or the run or whatever you want to call it. I can just imagine the people encouraging those kids and those family members and affirming and building up. And I can just imagine the affirmation that Braden felt from his brother, Karen. And then I read that this past April, this same fellow, Hunter, carried his brother 111 miles. Needless to say, he's pretty strong. He's a top wrestler, named athlete of the year at his school. Christ is there, friends, encouraging us, affirming us in the race, cheering us on, saying, I know you can do it. I know you can press on. Keep going. I'm with you. And sometimes Christ actually has to pick us up and carry us on his shoulders to get us through. That's the kind of people we need to be in the world, building up, lifting up, encouraging, and affirming. And then people are going to see Jesus. And they're going to know that wonderful relationship with him. So the 5 points. Welcome others. Live in harmony in relationships. Do not judge. Forgive. And build one another up. Amen. Let's close with our last song.
Please stand as you're able as we sing together. I refuse to live like I don't care, and I refuse to just keep on going when others are in need. So being an encourager.